He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It is Friday, and I pray that you are going to have a great and glorious day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Right now we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about praying. Yesterday we were talking about praying from a position of strength, because God makes us strong in the Lord. He makes us strong in grace. He makes us strong in faith. He makes us strong in faithfulness and strong so that we can serve. And so, as Paul writes to the Ephesians here in chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, we see that position is not us praying from a position where we're overwhelmed, but instead we pray from a position of strength that comes from our relationship with God. So I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out. So on Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We're going through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter. And this last Wednesday, we just started a study on the book of Revelation. And, you need to understand how the story ends. I've said this before. Back in the 70s was the first time that I encountered this, where there were theatrical productions, movies that were made. We called them films back then. That some of those end time films were designed to try and scare people into a relationship with Jesus. And if fear is your motive, at some point in time, as time goes by, you may lose that sense of anxiety, and all of a sudden you may want to go back to all the things that you left behind. But when you fall in love with Jesus and you find out that Jesus is the lover of your soul, then all of a sudden you will continue in that relationship, because like the disciples said, you know that no one else holds the words of eternal life. You understand that He loves you perfectly. That getting to spend an eternity with him is not punishment, it is a reward. And so I do not focus when I'm teaching on Revelation, I do not focus on trying to make people afraid. My goal is to build people up in their faith. So that's Sunday morning, 9:30. Wednesday night's 10:30, or Sunday morning is 9:30, the book of Acts. Wednesday night's is 7 p.m., the book of Revelation. And then I'm also preaching at 10:30 on the presence of the Lord and what that means in our lives. So today we're going to return to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 10 through 20. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So yesterday we talked about, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And that's what we focused on. And so we were talking about being strong in the Lord, to be strong in the grace of God, to be strong and considered faithful, to be able to serve. So we minister from a position of strength, not from a position of weakness, and we minister from the strength that comes from having a faith in God. And so those were some of the things we've talked about. We were in Romans, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, as well as this passage here. Here it says, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there is a strength that we are supposed to live our life in. It's supposed to manifest in us, but we realize that God is the one who is the source of that. And so there's multiple words in Greek that describe power and might and strength. And so really what we see when it comes to God is he has strength upon strength upon strength. And that's what Paul is wanting us to live in. He's looking for that to be the condition of our being. So I remember hearing a story about a piano player. He was a world-renowned composer. Any music majors who studied music history, they would know who this person is. I do not remember his name. But as he was playing and was trying to write these beautiful but complex pieces of music, he was doing so from the piano. He realized that the weakest finger that he was having to compensate for was his ring finger. It would not necessarily do what he wanted it to do. So he set out in all of his focus to develop a strength out of his weakest component. It was making what he wanted to do in music, it was making it a challenge, because he didn't have a very strong capability of playing music with that, because of his ring finger. And so he set out to make his weakness a strength, and in so doing, he caused that which he was strong to become a weakness. and it ended up not being something that enhanced his musical ability. It was something that presented it as a challenge, and he was no longer capable of doing some of the things that he had done before. A lot of times, people who focus on building up muscle strength end up losing range of motion. If you look at some bodybuilders, by the way, I am not one, that they build so much muscle that they lose range of motion, and so they can do a lot of things, but to only a certain degree, because they've become so hyper strong in one area that they are limited in other aspects of their life. I want you to understand that God does not suffer from those limitations. He has full range of motion. He has strength of spirit, strength of soul, strength of body. He's not got any weaknesses. He has love for us. He's strong emotionally. He is strong in truth. He is strong in principle. He is strong in mercy. He is strong in grace, but he is also strong in righteousness, and he is strong in justice. His strength knows no limits, no ends. And so Paul tells the church of Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that there would be strength upon strength upon strength, and that because of that strength, we could put on the whole armor of God. Now, on yesterday's program, when we first launched into Ephesians chapter 6, I reminded you that we are looking at this in context with Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayers that Paul prayed for the Ephesians there, and the prayers from Ephesians chapter 3. And there's also some reference to chapter 2. So where yesterday we were talking about being strong in the Lord, in other words, being made strong in the Lord, that is something that God does for us. Here we are called to take an active role, and that is that we've got to put on the whole armor of God. The armor of God is provided for us, but we have got to be the ones that put it on. So there is, let me just take you down there. I'm not going to focus on this today. So there's having girded your waist with truth. So integrity is very important. Righteousness is our breastplate. That's very important. The preparation of the gospel of peace, that's very important. The shield of faith is absolutely essential. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I can tell you that we are the responsible ones of whether or not we put on the armor that God has provided for us. So I remember this one project I was on. It was a construction project. And, the building got put up. It's still there. But I remember that there was a person that went up. They sent me up to do it, and I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. There was another person that went up, and they said, this stuff is so restrictive that it's not allowing me to do what needs to be done. I want you to know that we need to appreciate the armor that God has provided for us, that it's not optional. It's essential. It's not essential because it's OSHA required. It's essential because God knows the nature of the battles that we are facing. We're facing spiritual enemies that require spiritual armor. It's a very present reality that truth is seen as something that is abstract, that it is fluid. So we will hear people saying, I've got to live my truth. What's true for you may not be true for me. Those are truths that society makes. Those statements do not align with the Word of God. You may think something to be true. That doesn't mean that it is. Truth comes from God. Truth is not just true in one culture. Truth is truth in every culture. So the truth is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's true. It's not true because I say it. It's true because the Word of God says it. It is true that no one comes to the Father but by me, said Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not true because Bob said it. It's true because the Word of God said it. And one of the things that I remind people of when discussing truth is that the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, that those are not only promises, you know, that are delightful and blessing and things like that, but the promise that God says about the result of living a godless lifestyle, those promises are also true. So we have to equip ourselves with the character. We've got to be spiritually equipped because of the nature of the battle that we are facing. So there was a saying when I was growing up. It says, you know, don't ever bring a knife to a gunfight. I don't remember where that saying. I've never been in a knife fight. I've never been in a gunfight, but I have been in a spiritual fight. And when we equip ourselves, when we clothe ourselves with the armor that God has provided for us, it enables us to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there is an ability that is given to us that we are empowered, we are given the capability that no matter what the enemy's strategy is, we are going to be able to stand. But we do not have the ability to stand because of our willpower. We do not have this ability to stand because of our pedigree or the size of our bank account. The reason that we have the ability to stand is because we have been made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and we have clothed ourselves with the armor of God. So when you are in a spiritual battle, you look at things through a spiritual perspective instead of a natural perspective. A lot of people think that their spiritual struggles happen on Sunday morning when they try to get out of bed. That's not the case. Spiritual battles mean that the wiles of the devil are aimed at us constantly. I remember reading a story. I don't remember if this was an actual scenario or not, but there was a person who was trained with a very specific skill set for military operations. It had taken years. There had been, you know, multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars of training that had gone in, and this person was getting ready to, you know, be deployed on whatever military assignment it was. But the enemy knew that he had been trained, and so while he was out to dinner, the enemy had targeted him to be eliminated. And because this guy thought that it was a recreational celebration before he was deployed, he did not realize that he was that the enemy had defined the restaurant that he was at to be part of the battlefield. You and I, we need to realize that the spiritual conflict that we are in requires the strength of God and the power of His might, and to be clothed with the armor of God all of the time. Elijah had a great victory on Mount Carmel, where 850 prophets were defeated. The next day, he was sent into a panic because Jezebel sent him a message and said she was going to kill him. He was probably battling depression on the heels of his greatest victory. Pastors, you might look at us and say, "Oh, wow, they were really on top of it on Sunday." But I can tell you that the battlefront just shifts from the presentation of the gospel to a different format, a different battlefront right after that. I would ask you, pray for your pastors. If you aren't praying for your pastors, please do so, because the battle is a continual battle. Very rarely do we just shut our brains off from carrying the burdens of the people that we are ministering to on behalf of the Lord. It's a responsibility that we carry around with us. And so I pray today, I mean, we're not getting very far in this, but the armor of God, if I can put this in proper perspective that we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God is given to us so that we can put it on, so that we can be able to stand. Stand is mentioned in various forms repeatedly in this passage, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, that when you have done absolutely everything, you will be able to stand, and that you will stand properly prepared for the battle that you may be facing that day. Stand. You've got to prepare. You've got to say, "God, when this is all said and done, I want to still be standing for the glory of God." So if we will allow God to strengthen us in the Lord, He determines our steps. He determines our provision. He's the one that directs us. He's the one that empowers us and enables us. And then He has made provision for us for the armor of God, so that no matter what the strategy is, it doesn't say the wile of the devil. It says wiles, that's plural. So you need to be prepared for multiple different points of strategy that the enemy may have against you. So many, many years ago, I went to a minister's meeting, and while I was there, I found myself just reading the scriptures, and it talked about how in the last days people would follow deceiving spirits. And I just had a quickening of the Lord, said, the battle that you are praying about right now is because there's a person that is following, they are being influenced and led around by deceiving spirits. And whenever the strategy was revealed to me, it meant that I then knew how to pray. Because this person was being influenced and led astray by deceiving spirits, I prayed that their eyes would be opened and that they would see truth for truth and they would see deception as deception. I prayed that instead of being a follower, that person would follow the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I also prayed this. I prayed that those deceiving spirits would encounter spiritual laryngitis, that they would lose their voice. As I was praying about that situation, I had a dream one night, and God had given me a strategy. But in this particular dream, he also revealed that it wasn't just the person I was praying for that was the target, that it was me. That the enemy wanted to take me out. And I tell you what that does when you realize that God has targeted you for blessing, that he has selected you and chosen you for abundant life and goodness and mercy following, that he's chosen you for blessing, but the enemy has targeted you to reduce your influence and take you out of the battle. It will cause you to listen very carefully to your commander in chief and make sure that you arm yourself with the armor of God that he has provided for you. You're in a spiritual battle. Be dressed for battle. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Wayland Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who